Well, good morning to all. I hope you all weren't up late last night watching a football game or anything. You know, the difference in my life was if what happened last night happened to me 40 years ago, 42 years ago, I would have been mad. I would have been depressed and discouraged. I'm still mad, depressed, and discouraged, but no. Actually, it's a difference knowing Jesus Christ and having a relationship with him. That's the greatest thing in the world. It really is. So don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. I see Mr. Marshall back here. Go Tribe, right? Big Indians fan here, so there's still hope here in Ohio, right? It's been a waiting a long time. That's right. Okay. Well, this morning I want to talk about Jesus Christ. That's who I want to talk about tonight. It's good. So you can say, what did the pastor talk about this morning? Jesus Christ. Real simple. One of my favorite quotes is by A.W. Tozer. He said, what comes into our mind when we think about God, what comes into our mind when we think about Jesus Christ, is the most important thing about us. My question for you this morning is, what comes into your mind when you think about Jesus Christ? I'd like to get a little feedback. What word or two comes into your mind in describing Jesus Christ? Didn't he? Just throw it out here. Love? Savior. Okay, good. Anything else? What's that?
Brother.
Yeah, he's our older brother, yeah?
Sacrifice.
Father. Sacrifice, okay.
Friend
of sinners, right? Good. Okay, good. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to look at Jesus Christ here today. We're going to see something about a character quality of his that maybe you may not think so much about him. And it's quite a striking one. In fact, let me ask you another question. Think of somebody that you know really, really well. If you're married, your husband or your wife, or a friend of yours, and think, what was the very first time that you saw this person? Think about the very first time that you saw this person. I'm not going to get a response here on this one. I'm not going to embarrass the person because they may be in this room. You know, they say you only have one chance to make a good first impression. And that first impression that you have of an individual oftentimes sits with you for a while. It's imprinted on your memory, you know. Like for me, I'll tell you about my wife who is here. The first time that I ever laid my eyes on Sandy was back in 1975, a long time ago. And it was at a Christmas party that we were having in our fellowship. And I was with a bunch of guys who I would say were more introverts. And I remember her walking into our little gathering. And she went around and just introduced herself to everybody. You know, she was very bold in terms of relationally, and that's what impressed me about her. She was very friendly and that kind of person. Well, you know, that first impression that you have of somebody, again, has an effect on you. Now, I want you to think about this. What we're going to look at today is we are going to look at the very first time that Jesus is described in terms of actions that he did. Now, of course, we read the story about Jesus when he was born. I'm not looking at that one particularly. I'm looking at now that as he's growing up, and I think we're going to see something very, very interesting about Jesus Christ, about some qualities that he has, because I think if we understand these qualities that he has, I think it's going to help us understand what it means to be like Jesus, okay? So before we look at this, we're going to look at Luke chapter 2. Let me just pray very briefly, okay? Well, Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for sending your Son Jesus Christ to this earth 2,000 years ago. We did not really understand truly, Lord, what you were like until you sent your Son. And he is God come in the flesh. Thank you for having him walk on this earth for those 30 years. Thank you that he died on the cross. As someone said here, he is the Savior of the world. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Thank you that he rose again from the dead. Thank you that he is seated at the right hand of God and he's coming back again for us. This morning, as we look at this passage in Luke chapter 2, I pray that our eyes would be opened in a fresh way by your Holy Spirit, that we would have a greater understanding of who Jesus really is so that we may be like him. So we commit this time to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to look at this passage in Luke chapter 2. And so just follow along with me. We'll have it up on the bulletin. It's in your bulletin, as in the notes, as well as up on the PowerPoint. Okay. The child, speaking of Jesus, continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Let me stop right there just for a second. Jesus, of course, grew up in a Jewish family, and he grew up in this Jewish culture where the Bible was taught, the Old Testament, and he was really groomed in the Old Testament. He was taught it. I'm sure he memorized it. He meditated on it. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have success. And so Jesus, at this point in the story, we understand that he's growing, he's being stronger, and he's increasing in wisdom. He's increasing in wisdom because, again, he was a man who is a young man, he's 12 at this point, he was a man who was listening to God and his word. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan, and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. By the way, any parents here, have you ever left your kids anyplace? We have, a couple times. We've left our kids at church. Well, we have 8, so I guess I have an excuse, you know, so I just lost count one day. So it has happened. So, in fact, it happened to me. I got it from my parents because they left me one time. I was about 8 years old. And I wanted to go to a drive-in movie theater. I'd always wanted to go. And so we went, and I went to the restroom when the movie ended. When I came back, the car was gone. And they went all the way home, about 20 minutes away. That's a whole other story. I won't get into that. But the point is, you know, if you've ever left your kids anyplace, don't feel bad. So did Jesus' parents, okay? Okay, so that's what happened to him. Okay. Goes on to say then, after 3 days, wow, my parents didn't lose me for 3 days. It was maybe just about an hour they lost me. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple. I'm sure they were just totally freaked out. But here's what it says of Jesus. What was he doing? It says of him that he was sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. He was sitting. He was listening. He was asking questions. And that's the first picture we have of Jesus doing something. He was sitting. He was listening. And he was asking questions. Isn't that remarkable? I thought about this, that if I want to be like Jesus, I think I'm going to be like him in this too, that I'm going to be a person who sits, who listens, who asks questions. So I want to talk a little bit this morning about different levels of listening. And we'll get back to this verse in just a little bit. But, you know, I've realized that there's really 3 levels of listening. Well, really, there's 4, but the first one is not listening at all. You just don't listen at all. You know, you just close your ears, and I'm not going to listen. And as this, by the way, is a great message to give because people, I better listen now, you know, because it's on listening. I better listen. In fact, a tendency we can have, I think, in a message like this is, oh, this is really going to be good for my husband to hear this one, you know. Or it's really going to be good for my wife to hear this one or that person or my parents, you know. If only they're just not listening to me. I'm so glad this guy's given this message here this morning. And you'll get the most out of this message if you apply it to yourself, okay? I heard the story about this older gentleman and his wife was concerned that she was losing her hearing. And so he went to the doctor and he said to the doctor, you know, my wife, I think she's losing her hearing. I'm trying to figure out if there's a problem. And he said, well, here's something you can do to make sure to find out if she's really losing her hearing. And so he explained it to him. He said, great, that sounds like a great idea. So he goes back home, and while his wife was in the kitchen and she was working at the sink, he was sitting in the living room, and he said to his wife, honey, what are we having for dinner tonight? Nothing. And he got up, and he walked just right next to the kitchen door there, and her back was to him, and he said to her, honey, what are we having for dinner tonight? Again, nothing. And he walked halfway into the kitchen, and he said to his wife, honey, what are we having for dinner tonight? Again, nothing. Then he walked right up to his wife. He put his cheek right next to hers, and he said, honey, what are we having for dinner tonight? And she said, Harold, for the fourth time, chicken. We always think it's the other person's problem, right? It was his problem all along. So the point of this is make sure as you're listening here, this is something to apply to your own personal life. So I'd like to talk about three levels of listening. Three levels of listening. I think this is going to be very, very practical for you all here this morning. The first level is the debaters listening. Debaters. I don't know if you've watched many of the presidential debates of late. It's called debaters listening. Were they listening to each other? I guess, you know. Was Trump listening to Hillary? Was Hillary listening to Trump? Of sorts, you know. This kind of listening, what this is, it's listening in order to find out what the other person's saying so that I can correct it. That's why you listen, right? It's a form of listening, and sometimes it's not totally bad. I think sometimes a doctor, you know, he's listening to what somebody's saying so he can correct them if they're doing something unhealthy. I mean, sometimes it's okay. But, you know, this kind of listening is a very inferior form of listening, and it's the kind of listening I get into this a lot of times because, hey, I know what's right. I know what's wrong. I mean, after all, I'm me, you know. I know what's the right way to go, and so I've got the superior understanding, and so what I need to do is find out what this other person's saying so I can correct their thoughts. That's the arrogant way I think so often. And so you hear this in society a lot. You know, like I'll hear this, of course, in the news a lot today is this whole movement, you know, Black Lives Matter, you know. And so some people come back, well, yeah, but Blue Lives Matter too, you know. Or, you know, All Lives Matter. And they go back and forth and back and forth. And there's this debate going back and forth. And it's really an inferior form of listening. Let me go on to level two listening. This is a little bit better than this one, and it's called arm's length listening. And arm's length listening is more where I'm over here, you're over there, and I've got my own thoughts, and you've got your own thoughts, and so you're sharing your thoughts with me, and I've got my filter up, and I'll let some of the things that you're saying come into my brain, and maybe I'll take them and I'll accept them. I'm open to some degree on this one. I'm not here trying to change your mind, but I'm filtering things. And it's again, it's very arm's length. And I think this is the way most of us go a lot of times. We have an arm's length listening approach. It's a very common way. And I think for me, it's very easy to do this. I've got my own thoughts. And so what I do is I just listen to people who think the way I think. I don't really have other people, you know, I'll listen just to certain kinds of news stations. I will just, you know, read certain kinds of articles, people that agree with me, so I can maybe add to my way of thinking. And, you know, I think one of the greatest ways you do this kind of listening, arm's length listening, is through email. Email is one of the, it's a wonderful invention, but it's a terrible way to communicate in many ways. One piece of advice I've tried to follow, I don't always follow it, is never get into controversial discussions through email. It just does not work. You know, I just try to avoid correcting people through email or, you know, giving, you know, all my opinions through email. It just doesn't work. In fact, sometimes people will say something to me, some scorching email will come, and I'll want to send something right back, and I have to resist the temptation to not do so. But it's very arm's length, typically, is most emails are that way. But I want to talk about the third level of listening. It's incarnational listening. Incarnational, what does that mean? Incarnational, in-body listening. And this is the way this works. This kind of listening, I think, is the kind of listening that Jesus has. And what this kind of listening is where I'm, this person that I'm listening to is over there, I'm sitting here, I'm over here, and I go where that person is, and I just sit down in their chair, and I just see things from their perspectives. That's the kind of listening that I think Jesus had. Going back to this verse in Luke chapter 2, what does it say about Jesus? It says that he was sitting in their midst. And it wasn't just that he was sitting. He was sitting in their midst. Sometimes you think about sitting as being a very passive thing. It was a very active thing. Have you ever thought about what this was like for God, who knows everything, God who wrote the scriptures? He actually became a man. He actually puts on this man suit, you know, and Jesus is walking around. It wasn't just for a few weeks. At this point in the story, it's for 12 years. 12 years, Jesus is walking among us. He understood the way we were feeling. It says in Hebrews, you know, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things. And so you see this Jesus, even though he knew everything, he actually becomes a man. He was incarnational, the incarnate Christ, God incarnate, God in the body. That's what happened. And he actually was living among us. This is the kind of listening that I think changes the world. It's incarnational, level 3 listening. You know, just in a few months or so, we'll be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Great time of the year. It's a wonderful time where we celebrate this truth that God became a man. I like one quote, one man said that Christmas makes the indisputable claim that God cares for us, because God actually came and he lived among us. He understood what we were going through. So I'd like to look at a verse. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, that I think brings this home a little bit more. 1 Peter 3:8, Peter says, "To sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit." That word sympathetic is a word to circle. This is basically understanding, empathizing, understanding where the other person is coming from. And it's not just being sympathetic in a sense of, sometimes that gives a connotation of being a little arm's length, but I kind of feel what they're feeling. But it's more the idea that actually I'm really walking in their shoes. And so this effort of going and actually sitting there and understanding the way you are, way you think, this is what leads to harmony. So let me just give a couple of examples I personally have experienced. Now, there was a situation a number of years ago. Of course, what I do is I work with pastors and churches, and even pastors can sometimes not get along. And sometimes the reason they don't get along is because they have these very strong convictions of what the Bible teaches, and so you can have this very strong view here, this very strong view, and sometimes they just don't meet. And I remember there was this conflict that occurred a number of years ago. And I remember the very first phase of this conflict, it was more in that debater stage, you know. Here's what I think, and this is what God says, and boom, 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 boom here, and this other person's, no, here's what God says, and they were just speaking over one another. It looked like, you know, Hillary and Trump. That's what it was like. And that's a very common phase, you know, and this can happen in a marriage. It can happen between a parent and a child. And then the next stage happened where at least some of us, we were starting to kind of get an idea of what was going on here. We were at that arm's length listening. We could see some reasonableness because we were more on one side of things. I was more on one side of things in this particular conflict. And I was beginning to understand this other person's view a little bit more, and we were kind of letting some of those thoughts in. We were becoming a little bit more open-minded, but we really never came to the point of harmony. And it didn't happen until quite a bit later. Few of us decided, you know what, we are going to go to this level 3. We're going to go to incarnational listening. And I remember just taking the time And it was quite excruciating, to be honest, for me just to start thinking, oh, I'm just trying to put myself in this other person's shoes as best I could. And some of this even related to incidents that had happened years earlier, trying to see through this other person's eyes, trying to feel the sort of things that this person was feeling. And it wasn't until we came to that point of being empathetic and incarnational listening that harmony truly occurred. Let me talk again. I mentioned this Black Lives Matter. We had a pastor here, black pastor, we have a citywide pastors gathering once a month, our association of churches here in Columbus. And this pastor, dear man, his name is Lafayette Scales, is his name, and he came and just shared with us. And one of the things we talked about with him is, you know, what is it like to be a black person in a white person's world? What is it like? And it was so helpful for us just to be able to sit down with him and to listen. And we talked about this. It was so, so helpful. And I was so encouraged by actually a lot of the pastors there. I think they were really, really coming to this level 3 listening. And it was a very rich time. Actually, I'm going to be meeting with him again in a few weeks, this pastor. And I think even on some of the things like this that are affecting our society so much, it's so vital that we come to this level 3 listening and understanding what is it like in your shoes. You know, we can always argue other sides of things, but the first step is always, I just want to understand what you're saying and really to feel the things that you're feeling. This is so very, very important. Well, I've given my basic message here. I wanted to open it up for a little bit of interaction. And I have a question for you. Is if I've communicated this well, why don't we go to level 3 listening? I have a question for you. Why don't we do it? Why don't you do it? What is the reason that we either stay at that debater's stage or we're at that arm's length, but we don't go all the way and sit in the other person's chair, as it were, and really become a level 3 listener? I'm just curious, what kind of thoughts? Yeah, Kathy?
I think that you might be afraid of finding out something about yourself that's uncomfortable.
That's good. You might feel that you'll find something out about yourself that you're uncomfortable with. Yeah. Can you explain that maybe a little bit more, possibly? If you're comfortable in sharing. Okay.
Yeah. And they have emotional scars for that.
Yeah.
And so the subject that you're talking about is connected to that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a very strong opposing opinion.
Yeah.
If you can listen empathetically and put yourself in that person's shoes, you may find out that you're being a stubborn mule.
Yes.
Or other things that aren't pleasant.
Right. Right. Yes, right. And oftentimes in those discussions, I've noticed that people, like this one situation I was telling about with these pastors, at one point in the process, I got an email from somebody. And you ever been thrown up, vomited on in an email? I've had that happen a few times. That's what this was like. And I remember just thinking, you know, I started to punch back. And I thought, wait a second. Basically, they're just expressing some emotions right now. Don't read into it that much. And so really, it was by the grace of God, you know, I was able to kind of see things from the other person's standpoint, because it had been a long time. It had been a long time conflict. And so maybe not to take things as personally initially. And there's we want to kind of go back. In fact, the verse right before this in 1 Peter 3, it talks about not reviling in return, you know. And so you feel like I'm getting attacked, I'm getting reviled, and you just got to worry. Don't worry about that. Let it go. And just the goal is I really want to hear things from the other person's perspective. Okay, so it's threatening. That's a good point. Any other reasons why we don't do this? There's a lot of, yes. You know, that's a good point. You're afraid that I thought, that's a very good point. I thought this, that if I go over there, I might end up believing something that's false. And I really always want to make sure I'm believing what's true. And so this is a good point to mention this, is that Jesus, it says of him that he was growing in grace and wisdom when he was 12. I don't think Jesus ever stopped listening to the Father. And that's a very key point. I'm always listening through the Scripture. And I got to tell you this story. The first time I was introduced to this kind of listening, I went to a seminar, and I remember all throughout the seminar I began thinking, is this biblical, what they're saying? And I was trying to find a verse for it. You know, where's the verse for this? And actually, it was about halfway through the seminar. It seemed good, it seemed right, but I was concerned I was going to get, is this just some sort of a, you know, man-made idea or something? And the verse that came to my mind, what says in Romans 12, he says, to weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. And so that was the verse, and this verse, 1 Peter 3, is another good one. But I think that's a concern, because I don't want to be affected. I don't want to have affected by negative thinking. I think the solution is the person that we're to listen to primarily is God. And you know something? Sometimes we don't do level 3 listening with God. And it's been helpful for me to think, I'm, as much as possible, I want to put myself in God's perspective. I want to sit on his lap. I want as much as I can. And of course, we do that by looking at the Scriptures. So this is something we do vertically first with God, and then horizontally with others as well. That's a great one. Good one. Any others thoughts on why we don't do it? Yeah? It's hard work. It takes a lot of work, and I don't have time to do this right now. I've got to get to work, and I've got to, you know, hey, there's a football game on right now, and all these other things. And that's I think that's right. It takes a lot of work, and it's painful, too. It can be very, very painful. And the other thing is, you know, I can't do it with every single person in the world. And so you have to pick your situations. Obviously, we want to do it with our spouse. We want to do it with our family members and with people that are close to us, and as much as possible with others. These are great suggestions. Anything else? Yes. Okay, that you won't be able to help them. In other words, sometimes you think, if I do this, it's not going to go anywhere anyhow, so, you know, I'm kind of wasting my time. It's not going to work. That's what I think sometimes. And you know something? You're right. Sometimes it won't. But I've realized this, is that a lot of times it does work. It's amazing how often that's really been the key. It's been the... It unlocks all these doors that were locked. It's amazing. But sometimes it doesn't. But then I think, but I've pleased the Lord. I've made the Lord happy. And I just trust that God will do this, you know. Right now I'm in a conversation, interaction with a man who is gay. And I just wanted to find out a little bit more his perspective of Christianity. So we're in a dialogue on this. And I've really enjoyed, we met with him a few weeks ago. I was supposed to meet with him on Friday. We're going to get together here soon. And I just want to understand. I have my own convictions. I understand what the Bible teaches, you know, about marriage and biblical marriage. I'm not compromising anything there, but I felt I really want to sit and listen and understand this person, because I think, see, that's what Jesus was doing. I think Jesus, he knew everything. He knew the truth, but he didn't know the people. And if we're going to really impart the truth to people, we really need to understand. And I don't mean simply knowing enough in order to change them, because that's kind of a debater's spirit. I think there's just so many things that I can learn, because it's about people. It's about love. That's really what it's about. Any other thoughts about why we may not do this? Yes.
If you really listen, you might find out that you're wrong and you have to change to do the right thing.
Right. Of course, that can't be true. I mean, that I was wrong. I mean, that we just eliminate that one, right? But that's really true. Yeah, I might have to change, and that could be a tough thing. So that's a really very important one. Anything else? These are great comments. One that I thought about was that I think I'll look at a person and I'll say, this person believes A, B, and C, and those aren't right. Therefore, there's nothing this person has to offer to me. You know, this person is a Michigan fan. How in the world could I possibly have this person have anything to say of any value? You know, and so I'll just cut the person out altogether. And again, I'm never compromising what I believe to be true. I stay true in that, and that's why it's so important. So important. I think this church has been such a good example of this, of just, I'm going to be a person who's in the Word every day, meditating on the Word day and night, but at the same time, I don't want to just, I think there's something I can learn from everybody that's going to help in advancing the kingdom of God on this world, in this world. Okay. Well, I just have a few closing comments here. I wanted to give a verse here at the end. It's in Matthew 28:19. Our association of churches is called Great Commission Churches, and this is the Great Commission right here. And when I think about the Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, you know, I usually think about a missionary someplace who is, you know, advancing the gospel and proclaiming, and yes, that is so much of the gospel of what the Great Commission is all about. But I give a little bit of a different twist on this verse. These are the very last words of Jesus in the very first gospel. He says, go therefore and make disciples, disciples of all the nations. Well, what is a disciple? A disciple is simply a student, okay? Go therefore and make disciples, make students. And what is a student? A student is a learner. What is a learner? It's a listener. And so here's what God wants us to do. Here's what God wants us to be. I think God wants more disciples, learners, listeners. Who do we listen to? We listen to God. We are ones who really listen to God. We hear what he has to say. We change our viewpoint based upon the way he talks. And so that's why I become a person who gets into the scripture and I meditate on the scripture and I start seeing things from his perspective. I think that's really the major thrust of this. But, you know, we are to love God, but we're also to love men, mankind. And so I think that where there's really life change is when we become really, really good listeners. My theory is that if all of us can become these level 3 listeners, here's what's going to happen. I think, first of all, I think our relationship with God's going to get better. We're going to be growing more and more. I think you're going to find that marriages will be stronger. Could you imagine a husband and a wife where both of them are level 3 listeners with each other? Where both of them are looking at things from the other person's perspective? And this can be a challenge because, you know, for a man is not a woman and a woman's not a man, you know. So I don't know what it means to be a woman, so it takes some grace on my part to understand the way a woman thinks. And it takes some grace for my wife to understand how a man thinks. But the more that we're moving in that direction and we're really level 3 listening in our approach, I think it's going to really help us have a great marriage. Let's talk about parents and their sons and their daughters. Just imagine if the fathers and the mothers are really, really good at listening to their children. And they're understanding them, understanding their emotions and understanding what they're going through. Imagine if the sons and the daughters are doing the same with their parents. They're taking time to, boy, I want to see, I've never been a parent before, and this is why it takes a lot of grace to do this. If you are in your teens and you're doing this with your mom and your dad, you say, I want to see things from mom and dad's perspective. And again, what did Jesus say there? It says when he was 12, he was sitting in their midst. He didn't just kind of take a one-minute trip there and then left. He sat there. He just took some time to really understand what were these teachers saying there in the temple. So for this teenager or college-age person to sit in the chair of my father or my mother is a good thing. I like this quote. I just printed it off this morning. You probably heard this quote from Mark Twain. He says, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. The point is, you know, I think as we mature, this is what maturity is, is we're learning how to be better listeners. We're learning how to be more empathetic. And of course, when Mark Twain was 41 and 51, he really understood how wise his father had been. So again, imagine with the parents and children that they are both being that way towards each other. Friends, friendships within the church here, you know, if you have that kind of relationship, your small groups will just be great. There won't be the conflict. Imagine if you're that way at work. Imagine if you are an employee and you begin looking at things from the standpoint of your employer, and you understand that, I think this will have a huge impact on your attractiveness as an employee. If you begin seeing things from the standpoint of your manager, you'll be a little more patient with this manager or why they do things the way they do. And similarly, if you are in a management role at work, just imagine if you are being a person who is, you're understanding from the employee standpoint why they're going through what they're going through. It really makes a big difference. Imagine in sharing Christ with people. Imagine if you get really good at listening to your neighbor and understanding what they're going through and seeing things from their perspectives. Imagine if you're like Jesus, who he would sit and he would listen and he would ask questions. I think it's really one of the most effective ways for sharing the gospel. I mean, genuinely from the heart, I'm really wanting to learn. Not just, you know, I'm asking a question so I can butt in and give my answers. But I'm really wanting to understand this person. And isn't it interesting in this story with Jesus, it says there at the end that they were amazed at his answers. Isn't that interesting? They were amazed at his answers. As he sat, as he listened, as he asked questions, what does this imply? It implies that they asked him questions in response. And so I see this young man, this Jesus, this 12-year-old, he was someone who really made the effort to listen, this level 3 listening. Now, in closing, I want to encourage you with this, and that is, you can do this. You can do this. You can be a level 3 listener. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is in you. The same Jesus that we see here in the temple, who is sitting and listening, asking questions, he is inside of you. I think this is the direction that he is wanting to take you and me both. He wants us to become like him in this way. And that encourages me, because sometimes I think, man, I'm not a great listener at all. You know, I grew up in the TV culture of the 50s. You know, I'm not a very good listener. And now with all the other media that goes on, sometimes you just don't listen that well. You get so distracted. But I've been so encouraged to realize that Jesus Christ is in me, and that he can change me, he can transform me, and to be a person who truly is a level 3 listener. And if this happens, this is my theory, I think in your life, in your family, and your church, that I think if the water level rises in terms of our level 3 listening, I just think it's amazing what God will do in all of our lives. And I want to just close with this. This message, I don't normally give messages more than once, but I've decided that this message is so important, I'm giving this message over and over again over the next year. I'm planning on giving this at the Grace Point. I'm going to give it in Georgia at Faith Walkers coming up at a seminar. So you don't have to go to my seminar if you go to the Faith Walkers. But I just really believe this is such an important issue, because I believe, again, if we can just see our listening get better at this, much grace, much blessing will happen in all of our lives. Does that make sense? Okay. Well, maybe the band can come up and I'll just close in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your example, Lord Jesus. Wow, you are so amazing, and I'm just floored by this story here, how this was the very first impression that we had of you is that you were sitting, you were listening, you were asking questions, you were sitting in the midst. Thank you, Lord, that you just didn't take a little trip for an hour, but you were there for 12 years, understanding the way mankind is. And Lord, we want to be the same way. We want to walk in your steps. We want to understand you. We want to understand even the way you think and all. That's what we want. And then we want to understand the way this world that you have created, the human beings. And we are all sinners. We live in a world where people have gone astray from you. And yet every person here has been made in your image. Lord, they're all very valuable. You love each one of them. You came and to seek and to save the lost. You came to not to judge the world, but to save the world. That's why you came. And so, Lord, help us, each one of us here. Help me, help my wife Sandy, help my children, help every one of us here in this room be people who truly are incarnational listeners. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.